Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. It's a good time to be turning to an intelligence professional who has specialized in the proliferation of weapons of mass destruction, notably by and with the Iranian regime. He is Fred Flights. He is today, I'm very pleased to say, the Senior Vice President of the Center for Security Policy for Policy and Programs. He is also a longtime member of the team at the Central Intelligence Agency, where he worked tirelessly on these sorts of issues. He also served as the Chief of Staff to Ambassador John Bolton during his most recent stint at the State Department, and also on the professional staff of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence. You can read Fred's writings. They are copious. They are extraordinarily valuable at outlets like National Review, practically daily these days, because there's so much to cover. For that reason, we're especially grateful for his time each week. Thank you, Fred, for joining us. And again, welcome back.
Good to be here, Frank.
Well, if this is not implementation day for the so-called Iran deal, it is near at hand, evidently. The administration seems to be pulling out all of the stops to try to transfer something on the order of $100 or more billion to the Iranian regime. Fred, before we talk about what's likely to flow from that action, give us a sense of the state of play. Has Iran faithfully implemented the deal, as you see it, to this point? And can we tell?
Well, there's two parts of that question. There, technically, to have sanctions lifted, Iran has to send enriched uranium out of the country, remove the core of a heavy water reactor, and disassemble all but about 6,000 centrifuges. Those are the main requirements. There are reports Iran has mostly done all of these, but it's unclear. Secretary Kerry has made claims about how much enriched uranium Iran has sent out of the country that differ significantly from what the Iranians say was sent out and differ from what the IAEA says Iran had. And whether this heavy water reactor has had its core removed, Kerry says it has, an Iranian official says it has not. The IAEA has to verify all these things.
And how's that going, Fred? Are we really seeing them verify all of those things? And is the stage set for the kind of confidence Secretary Kerry is encouraging us to have in the IAEA going forward from here?
I mean, the IAEA is supposed to verify these things and issue a report that will be the basis of a vote on whether to go forward with implementation day and lift the sanctions. The problem is Iran clearly has not met other requirements under this agreement, such as not testing ballistic missiles, such as cooperating with an investigation into its past weapons-related work. On the latter, the IAEA issued a report clearly stating that Iran did not comply, yet the international community, led by the United States, ignored the report and voted to close the file on this issue. So my concern is, no matter how vague the IAEA's report might be on Iran meeting the requirements of implementation day, the U.S. will simply ignore any unanswered questions and vote to lift sanctions anyway.
Well, this is not a heartening proposition, especially when, as you've documented in your work at the Center for Security Policy's website, securefreedom.org and irantruth.org, and, of course, in other outlets like National Review Online and your video appearances at Fox and Newsmax and elsewhere, Fred Flights. Implementation involving the transfer of this immense amount of money is likely to make what is already arguably the world's most dangerous regime more problematic. Give us a flavor of what you forecast Iran will do with this windfall.
Well, I think it's pretty clear that Iran is going to spend this money on destabilizing the Middle East, funding terrorism. It's going to go towards its missile program. And I think Iran has already begun these efforts, with the understanding that a great deal of sanction relief is already coming, and some of it has already been released because the United States has been exempting Iran. Well, the president has been exempting Iran from existing sanctions. And I think this is simply emboldening Tehran to engage in more belligerent and destabilizing behavior. I think 2016 will be a very dangerous year.
Well, I do too. And Fred, one of the things that is as troubling in a way as the destabilization, the terrorism, the prospects of even nuclear conflict at the hands of the Iranians, is what they are systematically doing in the interval, even before they get this money, to provoke on the one hand and to humiliate the United States. The provocations have gone unresponded to across the board to this point, and the humiliations have not even resulted in the administration retaliating in any way or even condemning what's being done. This includes, of course, most recently, the seizure on the high seas of 10 of our sailors, who fortunately have been released. But Fred, again, as a serious student of these matters, who has tracked what the Iranians are up to and others like them for decades, what's up with this humiliation and what's likely to flow from our failure to respond to it?
Well, Frank, as an intelligence analyst for 19 years, I don't believe in coincidences. It was no coincidence that these American sailors were seized on the day of the State of the Union and not released until after the president was done speaking. So why did Iran do that? It was sending a message to President Obama that we are in the driver's seat for the rest of your presidency. If you want your legacy deal, you're going to let us do whatever we want for the rest of your presidency. We saw that when the president tried to impose sanctions against Iran in late December and reversed course 2 days later when Iran objected. I mean, this is a clear message sent to the president. It's no accident this happened on State of the Union Day.
Let me ask you on that episode, because it was not only humiliating, it was bizarre. You had the Treasury Department announcing that sanctions were going to be imposed in response to the ballistic missile testing that violated UN Security Council resolutions, which was ostensibly not part of this deal, as I recall. But because of that, the Treasury Department, we're told, thought they could impose sanctions to sort of give, you know, credence to some of the claims that were made to this effect in the administration's salesmanship for this deal. And as I recall, it wasn't even days. It was less than an hour or so before the White House intervened to say, no, actually, we're not going to do that. Fred, again, you've spent a lot of time in these government bureaucracies. Did the left hand simply not know what the right hand was doing, or do you think that the Iranians intervened with an explicit threat that backed the administration off?
My understanding is that there were multiple notices to Congress that these sanctions were coming. This happened. There more time went by than an hour, and that the administration responded to Iran's objections. Now, you could be right. It was during the Christmas break. It's possible the Treasury Department did this without the White House knowing. I find that unlikely from the way that the government operates. Things like this have to be signed off on a pretty high level, and they have to be approved by an interagency basis. So, I mean, it's possible the administration didn't know, but I have a feeling that they were convinced by maybe a lower level official to go along with this, and then the Iranians object.
Fred, we've only got a minute left. What's the latest on a sort of leading edge of your earlier point of the destabilization of the Persian Gulf and the wider Middle East by the Iranians in the wake of this deal, namely the conflict that they now have with the Saudis and arguably at least with some other of the Sunni states who've followed the Saudi lead in breaking off diplomatic relations?
We're seeing a very disturbing increase in tensions between Sunni and Shia states. And I think this is an aspect of this Iran deal and the rise of Iran as a regional hegemon that this administration, I don't think they can conceive of the instability that what they're doing will cause, and what happened in Saudi, what happened when the Saudi embassies were sacked in Iran, I think it's just the beginning.
I'm afraid you're right. We'll be following it closely, as I know will you. Now for us at the Center for Security Policy and for the free world more generally through your various writings and public appearances. Fred Flights, keep up your very important work and come back to us again next week. Next up, Chuck Downs, one of the country's preeminent authorities on the Hermit Kingdom and what we should be expecting from now on. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.